2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I challenge you from the Word of God. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. At both, he said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. And that's exactly what the Word of God will do when it's preached. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. After their own lust, that which they want to do, that which they desire, their flesh. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You can be seated, and let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. I pray You'd give us the power of God more than anything. We need Your divine touch. We need Your divine hand. I pray tonight, Lord, You'll have Your will and Your way in everything that's done. May we say what's needful. May we not say anything that don't need to be said. I pray tonight You'd guard our mind, You'd guard our heart, and guard our lips tonight. And I pray that we might speak, as thus saith the Lord, and deliver the message that You've laid upon our heart. We give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Well, the time has come, amen, that they will not endure. Notice something out of that. I didn't point it out this morning, but it said, but after their own lust, in verse 3, he said, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? They're going to turn to something else. And the Bible said, and they shall turn away their what? Ears. Didn't say they would turn away. It said they'd turn away their ears. From what? The truth. And shall be turned unto fables. In other words, they'll quit listening to the real Word of God and start listening to a counterfeit. That's basically what we've got in this nation today. Across our land, preachers are preaching. Men and women are not listening. What has not quit preaching in the pulpit has fallen upon deaf ears to the multitudes. Amen. And they're turning their ears away from the truth. I'm going to give you some things about that tonight. I pray there'll be a blessing and a help to you. I said this, and I'll say it again in starting. The primary task of the church is to get the preaching of the Word of God out. I believe that. The primary task tonight of you and me as an individual, as a child of God, is to get the preaching of the Word of God out. Whatever we have to do to get the preaching, because it's the preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how can they hear? Lest they have a preacher, and how can they preach? Lest they be sent. So it's important that they hear the preaching of the Word of God. There's not much emphasis placed upon that as there should be and ought to be and have been in days past. Years gone by, brother, the preaching of the Word of God was exalted to a more higher degree than it is today. We don't want to hear that. We want to have something else. We want to have smooth things. They said in the book of Isaiah, give us the smooth things. And that's what we're wanting today in our church work. Amen. Now, I believe the ministry of the Lord in our hearts and life is to preach the gospel. Now, I want to say this and give you this little outline, just to think on for a minute. Jesus, what did He come into the world to do? Somebody said He come in to raise the dead, to open the blind eyes and touch the deaf ears and the dumb tongues. That's not what He came in the world for. The book of Luke said He came in the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And I read in the book of Luke where He came into the temple one day and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the Word. And He began to preach the Word of God. Who is the living Word? He preached the Word. He preached Himself and preached the death, burial, and resurrection and everything He did. And then all the miracles that He performed, it stunned people and brought them and astonished people. But those things pointed to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how that He can raise the dead. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. Then as I go on to look into the Word of God, He picked Him out, 12 disciples. Now them 12 disciples, the Bible said that He told them to go out two by two and what? Preach. He said, preach the Word. He also said that they are to raise the dead and do some miracles and mighty things. And we are putting more emphasis on the mighty things and the miracles today than we are on the preaching. Their job was to go preach the Word of God. Then at the end of His ministry, after He's done died, He's been buried, He's risen from the dead, He comes back and here's what He says to them. And I believe it's also to the church. He said, go into all parts of the world. And He said, what? Preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So He has commanded His disciples. He preached. He commanded His disciples to preach. And now He's commanded the church to go preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find over in the Word of God some other things. Amen. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, He said, "After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be what? Witnesses unto me in all Judea and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." I want you to know that's exactly what happened. Witnesses. Amen. Preachers. You will be preaching the Word of God. On the day of Pentecost, what is the first thing they did when the Spirit of God fell upon them? They preached. Peter preached to 3,000 souls, or more than 3,000 souls, and they got saved by God's grace. In the third chapter they were preaching. In the fourth chapter they were preaching. In the fifth chapter they were preaching. And on the sixth chapter they were preaching. And they just kept on preaching. And the church has been preaching ever since. In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, the disciples said, "Hey, it's not lawful for us to quit preaching the Word of God. I want us to choose out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith." And they picked out 7 men, brought them in there as deacons, and they laid their hands upon them and said, "Hey, we're not to give away to the tables and administration and try to help the widows and all that. Our job is to sit down and study the Word of God and prepare ourselves to preach the Word of God that souls might be saved." And beloved, we need to do everything that we possibly can to preach the Word of God. Amen. So we'll find that the Word of God went everywhere. Over in the 8th chapter of Acts, I look and I see, well, in the 7th chapter, Stephen's stoned. He's preaching. Because of preaching, he got his stoned to death, got a shortcut to glory. In the 8th chapter, Philip's over there preaching, and he went down, found a little Ethiopian eunuch, and he preached to him and said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except somebody show me?" And the Bible said that he preached Jesus to him, and he got saved, he baptized him, and went on his way. Then in chapter number 9, Paul gets saved, and he goes on, and next thing you know, old Paul's preaching, and he's preaching to the Gentiles, and then he comes around, and now he looked around, and he said, "Hey, it's about time for me to leave. I got to have somebody take my place." And he said to Timothy, "Timothy, preach the Word." Amen. And he laid down his life preaching the Word of God. Another come along, he laid down his life, preached the Word of God. And another come along, laid down his life and preached the Word of God. And one day they handed me the torch, and I began to preach and pray. Amen. And now I'm preaching, and one of these days we'll hand it to somebody else and we're gone. Amen. And they'll still be preaching. God wants the preaching to go. Say amen right there. So just get an idea about it. I thank God for the preaching. We need the preaching of the Word of God. Don't you believe that? Well, you said, what's preaching? I look at it like this. Preaching is the theology of God. Amen. When you preach, what is theology? It's the knowledge of God, or knowing about God, learning about God. And when the preacher's preaching, he's teaching you about God. So every sermon is theology. Amen. The theology of God. God wants us through the preaching of the Word of God that we might get out. Brother, it's good for the pew. It is. And we need some preaching in the pulpit. Now, I'm going to say this. Did you know every reformation that they ever had? Every revival that's ever been? How come that was a revival or a reformation? Preaching. Amen. Didn't get it by gimmicks and gags, brother. They got it by preaching the Word of God. Brother, anything going to change? Now, do you believe tonight America needs a change? You said, "I don't believe I know, preacher." You said, "I've got hope, and maybe one of these days they're going to get a better Democrat in the White House. And maybe that's going to help us." And then you said, "No, I'm a Republican, so I believe we maybe ought to get us a better Republican, put him in the White House, and that's going to solve the country." Did you know there's multitudes of people believe that our country is in politics and politicians? Amen. Well, I don't care what you do. Then the independents come along and say, "We need this." And another group comes along and says, and the Tea Party says, "Here's what we need. We need some conservatives." Well, I say tonight, you can pick all you want to, but I'll tell you what America needs. She needs some preaching of the Word of God. We need to come back to the Word. We need to come back to God's precious book, and that's going to get it done. Brother, I still believe that's what we ought to be getting done tonight, making sure we're going to get it done. Now, let me give you some reasons why the pulpit and why the preaching is not liked and it's despised more than it's ever been. I give you a couple of them this morning. I want to go down the list and I'll right quickly get into some of them and we'll go home. First, I said this morning that we are come to the place that we've kind of got knowledgeable. And we've learned a little bit. We've got educated. And we're not old ignoramuses like they used to be. Our forefathers, they didn't have much sense, you know. That's what this world thinks. Understand what I'm saying? That's what our young people look. Hey, it's amazing how young people look at their parents today and they think, what in the world, the old fogey? The old dunce? I mean, they don't know better. They don't want us to have fun. It's amazing when they get about 25. Well, let's say I want to move that up to about 35. When they get up now about 35 in the 20s, they'd understand it. But now it gets to 35. I know some today is 40 years old and haven't learned anything yet. But one of these days they're going to understand that mom and daddy had better sense than they thought they did. Amen. Especially when the load's placed upon them. And it'll be after mom and daddy's gone, they got to carry the load themselves. Amen. Mom and daddy carries too many of the youngins today. Say amen. Praise God. We're about like them Indians that walked up and down America with arrows in their back, you know, in a little pouch up there. Well, amen. Mamas and daddies are still toting their kids on their back in America. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. That's right. But we go on a little bit. And let's look at this. One of these days, the mom and daddy's going to be off the scene. They're going to have to start making their own decisions. Brother, then they're going to realize something's happened. Well, we got a little smarts about us. So now we want eloquence in the pulpit. We want somebody that can split the Greek words. And I talked about that this morning. That's enough. We won't say any more about it. And whether he can come down with the line and get it all right. Then I said radio and television and the internet. Now, I've learned a lot off the radio. I've learned a lot off the television in areas of some preaching. As a matter of fact, I will say this tonight. I've learned less about the Lord on television than I have any other place, probably. I've heard a lot of good preachers preach on the radio. But tell me how many good preachers you've heard on the television. I've heard a few here and there. Once here, once there. But I'll tell you, it's a major thing tonight. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for the preaching on the television. Amen. Because they got so many different... Now, I'll tell you what. I've knocked on doors and said, preacher, I've got 2 radios and 3 televisions. I don't need to come over to church to hear anything. I hear all the preaching I want. But they don't hear anything they need. Amen. And so we find, you get on the internet, you can find a lot. Now, somebody listens to preaching. I appreciate everybody listens to preaching. I listen to preaching all the time. You said you sit and listen to yourself? No, I'd rather go run a rabbit or something than listen to myself preach. Amen. I preach them one time through with them. Amen. Now, somebody, I'm glad somebody does listen. I appreciate that. But I heard a preacher, I said that for years. But I was reading a book the other day about a man by the name of David Martin Lloyd Jones. Amen. Ever heard of him? And he's a good old British preacher and been gone for a long time. And he said, hey, I don't like to hear myself preach. And I said, hey, he's dead and gone. And I got the same philosophy. Most of the preachers, I know some preachers, they love to hear themselves preach. They brag about it. Amen. They love it. They love to hear themselves. Listen, my preaching won't, amen, it won't stir me up too much. Somebody else's preaching will. Amen. I have heard some back 20 years ago and said, hey, is that me? But that's because the Spirit of God was there. I basically don't like to go listen to it. But I'm telling you tonight, as I study the Word of God, I haven't learned a whole lot off of television, and because there's so many different denominations, so many different ideas, so many different beliefs, and brother, they'll get you so twisted up. Amen. Heard one or two, and they was talking about things, and I was listening. I said, this guy's good. And I sat there and listened to him. Good. Amen. Listen to him. Good. Listen to him again. Good. Amen. Then all of a sudden, he went haywire. And I ain't listened to him since. Amen. And there are too many out there. Brother, I'll tell you what, we need to find something tonight to entertain us. I guess there's nobody in here loves preaching and listens to preaching anymore. Miss Burrow back there, I appreciate her. She preaches, listens to preaching all the time. Amen. And she listens to good preaching. Amen. If you're going to listen to it all the time, make sure you get you some good preaching. Get you something that'll make you grow in grace. Somebody said, preacher, you're trying to get us to listen to somebody and nobody but you? No. I can give you some preachers that you ought to listen to tonight that'll stir you up and get you in better shape so I can preach better for you. Amen. That's right. Get you egging me on. All right, let's go on a little bit. We're living in a day when they don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's already got here. Thirdly, I'll tell you another reason why the pulpit and the preaching is not popular. Because there are too many Bible versions. And when I say that tonight, I'm saying that people don't really know what's right. They don't really know which one to listen to. I had a fella give me an email today. He said he'd been to the eye doctor. And down at the eye doctor, I don't know where it was. Don't even tell where he is. I do know it wasn't an email address around here. It wasn't Windstream. So he is off from somewhere. And he said, I was in the eye doctor. And I looked over and found a little book called The King James versus the NIV. And he said, I sat there and read it. I read it. And he said, I looked at it. And he said, I'd agreed with some of it, and I disagreed with the other. And he said, I'd agreed with this, and I'd disagreed with the other. Kept reading it, went back and read that I didn't agree with, and got to where I was agreeing with it. He said, when I got through, it was a blessing. And he said, I said to myself, I spent a good time here, and he said, that's the best thing you had in the house to read. And he gave us a good compliment off of it, and went on. I said, praise God. So somebody put it down there in some doctor's office, an eye doctor's office. Good. Good for you if you did it in here. But it may be off and I don't know where it come from. But anyhow, they did it and I appreciate that. You've helped to preach in the Word of God. Amen. Well, we've got so many different versions. I hear so many preachers. And the bad thing is, and this is what bothers me, some of the well-known top preachers of our nation tonight, and that's what hurts. They're the ones that are endorsing these perversions, and people are swallowing. They wouldn't listen to somebody like me. They would not listen to somebody like me. And when I talk to them and tell them we need the King James Bible, and that's what we need to base everything on, then they look at me and they'll say, well, where'd he come from? I know the First Baptist, I won't call his name tonight in the pulpit, but I will say this, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta was given that King James NIV book from here. And he read it. And they asked him what he thought about it. And the first thing he said is, who is this guy? Where's he from? And what kind of credentials does he have? And this man preaches out of different versions. And that's all he ever said about the book. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, these people listen to these great men like that, so-called. And then they said, if he takes it, if the man of the First Baptist Church is against the King James or takes something else, then I'd be all right too. They wouldn't look at a little old mountain preacher like me. You understand what I'm saying? And brother, it bothers me when these men get out there and run all this. I can name you preacher after preacher across this nation tonight that's well known, and everybody just about bows to them when they walk around. Brother, they're out of other versions beside the King James Bible. And they're, as far as I'm concerned, they're hirelings. You can say what you want to. Somebody said, I wouldn't make that bold a statement. You're not standing where I'm standing either. And I can make that statement because I believe I'm right. And the reason that is tonight, what we're seeing so much is because people are taking what they're saying. Now you know what? This burns me up. This just bothers me. I like old men of God preachers. I like the old ones. Back yonder is done dead and gone. Hundred of years. Amen. Here they are. I listen, that's what I read after. I study after this. Brother, they bust my hide. They pour salt in it. I want you to know I don't care too much about some of the modern writers. There's a few of them that's still good. Thank God for that. But I tell you, I like the old writers. And I read through what they say and it blesses my heart. But I was listening to reading one the other day that I got off of the web and I was reading that thing and I went down through there and all of a sudden it had a scripture. And it was a book written in the 1880s. Well, they didn't have nothing called the NIV back then. But when I read that scripture, it had behind it NIV. Now what they did, and this bothers me, I wish I could get that preacher and raise him back up and let him meet that feller today. And when they didn't even have an NIV Bible in 1888, they have changed the scriptures that he was using to NIV. But thank God that preacher is preaching out of the King James. Amen. And I praise God for it. Because I got some other books that he wrote and every one of them's King James. Amen. Brother, it bothers me that men will take time now to pervert the scriptures that our old men preached back yonder years ago. It bothers me. Brother, that's where we are. You know why they do that? Because they despise the preaching the Word of God. Amen. Brother, I believe we need to come back to the preaching the Word of God. Don't you? I certainly do. Now, number four, let me give you some other reasons right quickly. I don't have time to linger around and stay here. And so I want to throw in a few things and show you I believe this is the reason preaching is not as popular. Because people don't know what to believe, who to believe. They don't know what to run after. They don't know how have this. Well, I want to tell you tonight, I believe tonight that we don't have the authority of the Scriptures and give the authority of the Scriptures to the right Bible anymore. Did you know tonight that the Bible that you carry ought to have an authority over you? It ought to control your life. The Bible I study out of, the Bible I read after, the Bible I preach, the Bible I try to live by is the one I got in front of me tonight. And brother, it's my authority. Amen. I don't care what Dr. Bottlestopper says two blocks down the road. I don't care what some professor said in some college. I don't care tonight what some man that calls himself a so-called doctor, I don't care tonight what he preaches or what he says. I want to take my Bible, and my Bible is the authority over my life. And it's the authority over my family, and it's the authority over everything that I do. Brother, I believe the King James Bible is authority over this church. Amen. And when it gets where it's not the authority figure anymore, then we've got problems. Amen. We got so many little preachers gets up now, and they don't preach. They speculate. They theorize. They kind of give their little theory. Now, my theory is this. And they get up and they say, this is my hypothesis. And they'll start giving all that. I tell you what, they'll start giving out their ethical addresses. And they try to use what they call, the political correct language. Amen. And I don't like the these and the thous they'll say out of the Word of God. And so they want to switch it around and turn it. Brother, when we get to where we don't have the right authority over us, the Word of God, the right Bible tonight, we're not going to enjoy the preaching. Amen. Can you imagine tonight somebody else preaching off this same text? Now, I believe another thing, that our pulpits are filled with pulpiteers. Brother, they're just men in the pulpit today. They're professionals. Our pulpits are filled with professionals. Men who have decided they're going to take on the profession of preaching the Word of God. Not have a heavenly calling. Not have a calling of God upon them. But they just decided they're going to get into the ministry. Amen. And we've got men of God who changed the ministry. Now I'm going to say something tonight. You may not like it. Don't make no difference what you do or not. But brother, we've got all kinds of showmanship in the pulpit. Brother, they go from place to place. They'll get in their little cliques and they go from one place to another. Brother, they'll always be scratching their back. That's why I don't go to too many of the old fellowships. I just don't go nowhere. I used to go to meeting after meeting after meeting. I go here and I go there. But now it's got to be a rat race. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Get in these little outfits and guess what? One's running a revival for this one and then 2 months later that's running a revival for that. It's a payback time. That's right. Showmanship. And they get in the middle of that thing. And then we had some come across and they changed the platform of it. And you know what? They started the thing and not preaching the Word of God. They're kind of being a showmanship in the pulpit. And they started those special days, special outfits and special Sundays. Amen. You can say what you want to. Brother, every Sunday ought to be special. Amen. I know now they'll have them special Sundays. This will be our special Sunday. We're going to have so-and-so. And the preacher, he's going to run up and down the aisle in an outfit, waving his pom-poms, and he's a cheerleader for God. I know that even happened in our county here. Actually happened in one of the local churches of this county. Amen. They got that from Howes. Amen. He may have been one of your favorites. Amen. But he's not one of my favorites. He's done some good preaching down through the years. My brother, he's done a whole lot of easy believism junk. Brother, that got that started all across America. Said, preacher, you don't use a call name. Yeah, and you sit there and don't know what I'm talking about either. I call a few names and you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You said, I get you in trouble. I mean, I'm always in trouble. Preaching the Word of God. That caused people, I know preachers in our own county, that's got up on the roof. We get 200 in Sunday school, and I'm going to stand on the roof and preach. Amen. They've done that. I've seen them do it, or heard of it, didn't see them, but heard them do it. Hey, I'll tell you what, we get 150 in Sunday school, and I'll swallow goldfish. Preachers do that. Amen. I ain't swallowing no goldfish for 10 or 15 or 5,000. Say amen right there. Amen. I don't even eat sardines, but I will take you tuna fish. Amen. Hear me. You'll see all that. You'll see it up and down our country. It goes like that. Amen. We've got to get the clowns coming in. One fellow said he wanted to parachute out of an airplane. And he just parachute in the parking lot. Start preaching. Amen. I can just see you dropping me out of an airplane. Even if the chute works and I hit the ground, son, I don't think I'll be doing no preaching. I'm scared of heights. Amen. The Lord said, lo, I'm with you. Not high, I'm with you. And the Lord's coming to get me. He's going to give me a new body to get out of here. Thank God for that. All right. That's what's happened today. We've got our pulpits and our pulpiteers. And brother, we're putting on shows and all. We need some preaching! Some preaching! Some preaching of the Word of God. Tell men about Jesus. Tell them how that Christ died for them on the cross of Calvary. How that all our sins, and that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can all be made alive. And we can all be saved. And we can all go to heaven. And there's a hope for us through Jesus Christ. And no hope in anything else. Praise God. I appreciate that. I do thank God for it. Well, let me go on. I believe we come to the place today that we don't put the emphasis where it ought to be put in the house of God. And brother, we are labeling our preachers, instead of preachers, they're speakers now. Orators. Amen. Can you just imagine that? Can you look over at Isaiah and said, all right, Isaiah, come out here and speak to us. Amen. And I've been told a few times, all right, Brother Dennis, you come up here and speak to us. I said, I come up from preach to you. I don't know about speaking. I'm not too good of a speaker. Amen. Now, I speak sometimes. I speak my mind. And that's not what I don't do. That's not what I do in the pulpit. Brother, we speak the word of truth, but we preach it. Amen. Let it roll. I believe there's too much emphasis tonight put on the wrong things in our churches. We got too many ceremonies, too many rituals, too many forms, too many fashions. Amen. And our churches seem to be operated like a business. Amen. That's right. Did you know they outdone you in some churches? Matter of fact, some churches, if you want to join them, they want you W-2 form. Did you know that? There's churches that ask you how much you make per year. They want you to make pledges and put it in. How much you going to give? We're trying to set our budget up. Never done that in my life. Brother, God knows what we need. God sends it in. He works it out. I thank God for it. That's not living by faith. We ask you how much you're going to put in next week. We know what we're expecting to come in next week. Brother, let me work, we work like that. I guess a lot of treasurers might like it, but that's not living by faith. Amen. Brother, we'll pledge these things and so much, and we got our budget set. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And that's not living by faith. Brother, people don't see us living by faith anymore like we used to. Amen. We put too much emphasis on the things and the activities of a church instead of on the preaching the Word of God. And then, lots of times, the preacher has no control. I've been in churches and go to churches sometimes and see it and I look at it. Did you know tonight, and I said this morning, most preachers got up, rolled up their sleeves and preached the Word of God, they'd lose half their congregation or three-fourths of their congregation before they got out. If they just started preaching on Genesis chapter 1, the first 4 or 5 verses, they could run the crowd off in just a few minutes by the preaching the Word of God. But if you got down to business and begin to drag it out and pull it out just like God said, it disturbed people because they don't want to hear it. And they don't want the Word of God. They want it like it is. You see, a lot of your churches are operating and they're dealt with and run by the church. I never heard in my years gone by about them voting out a preacher 100 years ago. The only way they did that is when somebody was immoral. And usually he had enough gumption about him to quit. Amen. But do you know what? Now they hire and fire preachers. We're looking for a preacher. Here's what we're looking for. They got the criteria. The Bible's not set in. The Bible's not what they want. We're taking what is in little thing? Resumes. You put in a resume if you're interested in our church, and so they look at the preacher's resume. I don't like resumes. Most of the time it's just lies. I read a resume somebody helped make one time, and I looked at that and I said, glory to God. I mean, boy, everybody ought to hire me. Amen. You can paint yourself up pretty good. You ladies know about that. Amen. Amen. That's just sneaking in the back door, ain't it? But I'm telling you, I'm looking at this tonight. We can make people think that we're something when we're not. Brother, our pulpits are filled with people like that, preachers like that. Brother, we're going about that. But I was saying tonight that I believe the authority ought to be from the Word of God and the man of God tonight. All right. Let's go a little bit further tonight. Most folks have turned a deaf ear to the truth. They don't want the Word of God preached. They want the smooth things. And they don't mind the shouting times and the praising times and the singing times, but they don't want the preaching time. Amen. And so we've come to that place in our life. I'll tell you another reason tonight that the pulpit and preaching is not important to most people. Simply because there's a lack of separation in their lives. If there's a lack of separation in your life and you're not trying to conform, there's people that will not conform to the Bible. There's people that will not try to get where God wants them to be. I said in some previous messages in the last few weeks, some people read the Bible and it just goes in one ear and out the other. They don't want to read it too deep because if they do, it speaks to their heart. There's some sins in their life that they need to get corrected and get out of. And when they see those sins, they said, I don't want to do that yet. And they rebel against God. Now sin, and I want to say this in a nutshell tonight, but I'm fixing to preach on what sin really is. But let me say this. Sin is rebellion of the heart toward God. Any sin you do, it's rebellion against God. That's right. You can't slice it any other way. And you go on and look at it, but there's a lack of separation. When our churches get to the place that there's no separation. Did you know tonight, if you ever let one thing enter into the church that's not correct, it's against the Scriptures, did you know you got a headache, you'll never get it out? Amen. I've seen it happen over and over and over. If you ever let anything come in, and I'm saying this tonight, brother, I'll tell you, I'm criticized and made fun of for Christian dress. I guess people talk about me more than anything in this county because of the way I take my stand upon Christian dress. But do you know if we ever allowed that to start coming in this church and it begin to be common, we'd never get it out of here. If you ever let it get started, it'd never get out of here. So it's better to keep it out before it gets in. That's what's happened down through the years in any false doctrine. If you ever let some doctrine get in the church, we've been talking about it on Sunday school, but if you ever let some doctrine get in the church, brother, once you ever let it get in there, you cannot get it out. The next thing you know, it'll run the preacher off and the next preacher come in and he'll not have the power nor the ability nor the authority to get it out anymore. That's what's happened to our churches across America that's dead. When a preacher, if I one time allowed somebody to come in here and they carried some of the Bible and preached in this pulpit with another version, amen. One time. One time's all that'd take. And brother, it might take another 6 months, but it wouldn't, after a while, it'd start creeping in. We start letting somebody teach that in the Sunday school. Brother, let me tell you, it'd start getting it, and once it ever gets in here, you cannot get it out. You said, well, I wouldn't stay. That's right, you'd leave. And half a dozen others that believe the way they believe would come and take your place. And the next thing you know, the church has turned around, and it's going in a different direction than what it is now. Amen. Matter of fact, when a preacher dies or leaves and he goes to another church or something, guess what happens? Well, they look around to find another preacher and they can't find one just like him. Amen. They don't make them the same. Ain't two preachers alike. There's some things you like about me and there's some things you despise about me. And say amen right there and we'll go on. Amen. Did you know that goes two ways? Amen, brother. Come on. Amen. He said, I like our preacher. He preaches good and I like this, but I don't like this. Well, just it won't bother me as long as you don't tell me. You don't tell me, I'll never know it, and it won't bother me. Don't even tell nobody else either because they might tell me. Amen. There's some things you said, I don't like the way he parts his hair. Matter of fact, I don't like it because he ain't got no hair. I don't like the way he wears his suits. And others said, I don't like the way he does this. And I don't think he does this enough. And I don't think he does that enough. And you can tell me what you think about the job I'm doing here. Amen. I'm not any. We're not looking for a job performance tonight. Amen. If we are, we're going to get in that side, brother. We've got troubles. I can find as much wrong with you as you can find wrong with me. Amen. And we're not into that business here. Thank God. But I done told you one time that you was no count. But I also told you that I'm no count. I admit it. Amen. I don't know which one of us is sorriest tonight. Amen. I'm in the same boat you are. I just hope it don't sink together. Praise God. Listen. You with me? But we look at this and we find tonight that what's happening in our churches is there's a lack of separation. It's because there's a lack of separation in our lives. The world is looking at us. And you know what's happening? The world's not getting saved. And then I want to say this tonight. The basic thing that we're having wrong with our churches and why people do not want to hear the preaching of the Word of God is simply because the Spirit of God is not working in the midst of the church. Now, the Spirit of God and the Word of God are the only two things that this preacher needs. The Spirit of God and the Word of God is the only thing that you need tonight. And Brother God can preach through the Spirit and preach through the Word. And Brother, I'll tell you what, we don't have to have good preach. I know some preachers that can't even hardly write their name, but they have sharp preached some good sermons that's blessed my soul down through the years. You heard me talking about commentaries this morning. I've heard some preachers. I heard a fella one time, he got up, and if I called his name, everybody in the building know who he was. He lived to be a ripe old age out of this county. And matter of fact, he's a good preacher, preached a lot of churches. And he got up, I was listening to him one night, and he was just going on. He was rattling on and on and on and on. And he was saying some good stuff. But there wasn't no spirit about it much. Wife said to me, when we left, she said, "What'd you think about that?" I said, "I wish I had everything he said tonight in a book. I believe I'd got more out of it if I just read the book, because I could have put the spirit to it." And he meant well. He taught me a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it's the Spirit of God that makes the Word of God alive. I can read the Bible to you. I can preach to you. Brother, I can keep on saying what I want to in my flesh, but until the Spirit of God gets upon that and in that and pushes that forward, brother, it's not going to do anything for you. It's that spiritual attitude of the man of God and the Spirit of God that's going to drive home the thoughts that will wake you up and make you come to the altar. I can't get you to the altar, but the Spirit of God can. Amen. I feel pretty good. We went over in that church last Sunday night, and I preached. And trying to raise our support for the ministry. And while I was preaching, they had about three or four, five, I don't remember, several rows on the left-hand side, just young people. And I was preaching to young people. And I do like I do now, hollering and scream, and I stepped down there, and they all looked at each other. I figured out their preacher didn't move around much. And I went over there, and they's all looking like, whew, he's right here in front of me. Maybe they're afraid to go slobber on him, I don't know. But here they were. I got back up in the pulpit, and they looked at each other, and so I seen it kind of disturbed them, so I went back over there. Three or four times I kept going back, keeping them young people alive. Amen. And I began to look at that, and I thought, hey, I like this, praise God. But when we give an invitation, and one man over here, and one man back over here, they're getting up in years. Got up, and, well, first of all, one of the teenagers, got up and come down and went to the altar. And two men went to the altar. Hey, man, you don't have that much in our churches no more. I remember when the altars would get filled. Hey, you said, "Preacher, I got right with God 20 years ago and ain't had to go back no more." There's something wrong with you tonight. Hey, man, there's something wrong with you. I have to go to the altar every now and then. Amen. I got to go to the altar. I have to. Amen. Well, I can say one good thing. Maybe you prayed up good before you got here. Maybe you're on top of the totem pole with God before you get here. Well, we don't have the Spirit of God like we used to have the Spirit of God in our churches anymore. Guess what's happened? Brother, we've come to the place now that Christ is not being exalted anymore. The Word of God is not being preached anymore. And lives are not being changed anymore. And the world's not being moved anymore. Did you know tonight one little service in this church could change the county we live in? Did you know tonight that this church service tonight could, if we got where it ought to be with God, brother, could change the course of our county this next week, and next week after that, and the next week after that, and next year? How can that happen, preacher? With us getting right with God and going out and demonstrating the power of God in our lives. Amen. But most of the time it don't do it because we don't... Listen, it's contained within the four walls. You know why it's hard to get people to come to the altar? They got a little word called pride. Amen. You see, and I'm closing. trying to close, put it that way. The further we get away from God, the further our preaching gets away from God, what happens? We start having to substitute preaching. God chose the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save men and women. He didn't want us to preach about the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel. And that's our job. And when we quit doing that, we mess up. But what's happened now, we've done that. Therefore, we have to have counselors. It's amazing how many in our churches now have counselors. They've got to see the counselor. Amen. And they counsel people all the time, and the counselors are not getting the job done. It's not changing the society. It's going to have to come back to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That's exactly where it's at tonight. Brother, we're going to have to come back to that. And now we got the counselors, and the counselors are doing their job, and the preacher's sitting off to the side. Amen. And he has become more of a counselor than he has a preacher. God didn't call me to counsel. Matter of fact, when I preach, I counsel. Amen. I give you some kind of hope for your family, for your home. Amen. For your eternal destiny. That's what the counselor does. And brother, he's the counselor, and he does it through the preaching of the Word of God. It's important that we look at the preaching of the Word of God. Now I realize this tonight. Somebody said, well, what is preaching? That's another sermon. Amen. What kind of preaching? Amen. Somebody said, I hear these preachers, and they'll go, and I'm not making fun, and they go, about every three, four words. And I hear people say, I don't want to hear that. And then it says, he can't get his words out. Listen, it's the Spirit of God that ought to get your attention and not the habits of the preacher. Every preacher's got his own habit. Amen. And you don't look at the habits. You're looking for more. But here's what's happened. You know why they want counselors? Let me finish that. You know why they want counselors? Simply because people do not want to admit in public that they are sinners. Now, did I get that over plain enough to you? We're wanting to say, yeah, I know I need to get right, but I want to talk to a counselor because I don't want nobody else to know that I really have got sin in my life. And I got news for you. You're not going to get it out of your life either with that. I remember the old time preachers preached. They didn't have counselors. They preached, and the person got under conviction, gripped the pew, turned all kinds of colors, and half got sick, and they had to do one of two things, get out the door or get in the altar. And now we've got too much pride to let anybody see us go to the altar. But you know what? We get enough hard preaching, strong preaching, the Holy Ghost gets involved. The Holy Ghost will shake you every way but loose. That's why I don't try to pull nobody to the altar. That's why I don't try to get you to repeat after me. Brother, I believe the Holy Ghost of God shake that pride loose in you. Listen, I lost my pride the morning I got saved. I've had to contend with it since then, but I'm talking about the pride of salvation coming to the Lord. That morning I thought I was the only one in the house, and Brother God showed me I was a sinner. And tell you the truth, I got to the place, I got conviction on me so strong that I thought I was the only sinner in the house. Matter of fact, I knew as a sinner, I knew and I thought I was the only one that was going to hell in that congregation, and I wanted to get right with God. I wasn't trying to sneak it under the table. Now we're wanting to try to win our kids in a privacy where people don't know it. Brother, I believe we put them in the congregation and let them get under the conviction of God and run down the aisle and get saved. Brother, they'll weep their self to the altar. I believe that's the way it ought to be. Now we try to put in their minds, have you been saved? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? And then we pat them on the back and, brother, we'll trust that. Listen, I've raised three kids. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. I've raised them like that. And then years later come back to me and they'll say, Daddy, I wasn't saved. Had to get right with God. Knocked on my door and said, hey, I got born again. Brother, I get under the old Holy Ghost conviction, old time Holy Ghost conviction, they'll get saved. Until then, they'll try to hide it. Pride. 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 I'll make you hide. Didn't know that rhymed. Amen. But it will. Amen. Adam said, when God said, where are you? He said, I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you was naked, Adam? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to? Yeah, I have. Amen. Pride. Pride caused the first sin. Pride cast man out of the garden. And since then it's been obedience to come back to God. Heads bowed. I could just rattle on tonight for a lot of these things. Brother, I'll tell you, we need to have the preaching the Word of God like we never have. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke. Timothy, don't you spare any feelings. You get up and preach. You block the congregation out of your mind. You block the church out of your mind. And when you're preaching to individuals and sinners and souls. You're not preaching to kind of gain anything. But you're preaching for Christ. And His preaching will get the job done. Would you stand tonight? Oh, listen. I've come too far tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to turn around. I've come too far to back down on what I believe down through the years. And to tell you the truth, you've come too far yourself to turn around and pick up anything else. I've determined in my heart the rest of my days, as long as I live, that if anything, I want to get stronger and deeper in this thing. I want to be a voice for the Lord Jesus. I don't want to get weak-kneed, back down, fishtail. I want to stand for God. God's looking for some people tonight that will get stronger in the Lord, in the power of His might. Be stronger, not weaker. We need more of God and less of ourselves. We don't need to be a running and backing down. We need to be getting in and getting involved. We need to wave that bloodstained banner. God has spoken to you tonight. How about it? Oh, yes. I want to be strong for the Lord God. I want to take a stand like I've never taken for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give God the best and the rest of my life. I want to give Him the best of the rest of it. I've squandered too much, preacher. I've been weak-kneed too much. I backed down too much. I backed up too often. But I want to be strong and stand in the power of His might. Oh, yes. I want to be faithful. Paul knew his leaving. He said, Timothy, you preach. You're going to have to take over just a little bit. Amen. Some of us are going to get off the scene. Need something to take a place. How about it tonight?